Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Hello, Don't Give Up listeners. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and I do hope that you are all right. I really do hope that this past week has been good to you and that you've been able to see some things that you have not seen before, that you are able to pray a bit more this week than you had before because of our show last week with Forever Jones. And this week we're going to talk about confidence. You know, I shared with you last week as we were talking to Dominique Jones about a line in her song Access that says, I don't want to act like I know you anymore, Lord. I want to know you for myself. And sometimes we get in the mode of acting like we know, acting like we've got it all together, we've got it all going on, it's all smooth, it's all wonderful. But inside, we are so insecure. Inside, we are crumbling to pieces, crumbling to bits. And no one knows but you and the Lord, and you feel like a fraud, and you just feel like everything isn't working, and you don't understand what's going on. So tonight, we're going to take a little journey with our guest, and she is a recording artist who had an original idea of what she thought her music would be and her sound would be, and then God just took her on a journey where she found what her true voice and her true confidence is. We have J. Nicole with us today, and I am very pleased on the show.
Hi, good evening, Jackie, and Don't Give Up Radio audience. It is a blessing and definitely an honor to be a guest on tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I think the time that everyone invests to come on the show and to share their moments where they almost gave up really helps others listening to realize that there isn't anything that we go through that we can't keep pushing through past. Life is difficult. It's hard for everyone. And this idea that somehow, you know, just because we're Christians, just because we're believers, that it's going to be this glossy, smooth sailing and nothing ever happens. And in fact, we put that pressure on ourselves because that is not what the Word of God says. So we're human beings on this planet and we are going to face battles and we're going to need to be able to get through life, but not pretend how to get through life, but to actually do it and do it the right way. So before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you start singing?
I've been singing ever since I was a little girl, as far back as I can remember, all the way back to age 7.
Wow. And how did that start for you? How did you get introduced to music?
I've just been singing to everything when I was little. I remember the radio always tuning in to every song that came on the radio. I would hum different melodies around the house. It was just something that was inside of me, and I felt so much joy when I did it, and I've been doing it ever since, but it started at a really young age.
And now, were you introduced to church or, you know, Christian music or gospel at that time, or did that come later on?
That came later on.
All right, great. So now, you were introduced by your mother, however, to a relationship with God at a young age. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, my mother, I thank God for her. She is my inspiration, my hero. My mother is a brain tumor survivor, and I know we'll talk about that a little later on. But she had always kept God in my life always praying for me and my sister. And I'll never forget, Jackie, I was 11 and a half years old, and my mother told me about God and his son Jesus. And she said, you know, don't you want eternal life? He can give you that. And I didn't understand everything, but I knew that I wanted eternal life. I knew I just didn't want to, you know, die and not know where I was going to end up. And I'll never forget that day because I cried like a baby. I felt such the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me, even at that age. And I cried, but it was more of tears of joy that I finally knew Jesus, accepted him into my heart, and I knew I was going to heaven. And that was a great feeling, even at that age.
That's wonderful. I can hear the peace that comes with that. And it would be great if we can just stay in that moment and stay in that little bubble, but it doesn't exactly work that way, as I'm sure you would have taught you. So now, you love singing. Clearly, you started loving singing at a very young age. When did you start to believe you could do this professionally?
Wow. I had went on to college, and I joined a top 40 band. And I mean, I thought I had made it. I was in college making extra money on the weekend. I got to travel, and I got to do what I love to do. I love to sing. And although I was saved, I wasn't ready to do gospel music. Something inside of me just was just not thinking about wanting to do gospel. I wanted the fame. I wanted to be rich. And I wanted to be a pop star. So I started with the top 40 band. And after I graduated from college, I wanted more. I felt like that wasn't enough. I wanted to pursue a professional career in singing. And that led me to my next adventure in wanting to move out to Los Angeles to become a pop star.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that in just a second. But there's a few things that you just said that even resonates with me, because when I went away to college myself, I was studying drama and dance, and, you know, I was a communication major and had always gone to church, but I had not said the prayer of faith, the prayer of salvation, and I would go to Bible studies and things of that nature, but I didn't think that I could have the entertainment world, right, and my faith at the same time.
Right.
And so I was kind of pushing God off and keeping him on the shelf until, you know, I could get to a place where I could say, okay, let's do this together now. So I can understand that feeling of, you know, I want to pursue this, God, so I'm not really taking you that seriously right now. And
absolutely.
Because of that, we tend to make other decisions that impact our lives. And you were in a relationship with someone that you met that seemed like a really great guy. Tell us a little bit about that relationship.
Absolutely. Well, at that time, and I like what you said, when you said on the shelf, because often we do put God on the shelf like a book. We pull it out when we feel like reading it, when we want to be bothered or when it's convenient. And that's what I did not only with the music at that time, but in my relationship. I felt that I could still kind of straddle the fence, if you will. And, you know, I can admit that now. I was in a relationship with my children's father, and I was not married, but I was living in sin because I was still fornicating and, you know, just kind of doing what I wanted to do. And at that time, I was out of relationship with God, so I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. And
well,
moving.
So, you know, that's just how we kind of justify things, right? It's like, oh, I'm not really serious with you right now, God, so it's okay that I'm, you know, over here doing this thing over here. So that's interesting. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
And I was going to say, it's so interesting that sometimes, and I can only speak for myself, you tend to kind of justify the wrong and make excuses when you're doing the wrong instead of just saying, you know what, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. I tried to find reasons to make it okay instead of saying, you know what, it's wrong to be, you know, in a relationship like this. But I didn't. I thought there's nothing wrong with this. We love each other. That's the classic. You know, we're in love, so that makes it okay, you know, with
right.
God. But he clearly states in his word, and when you begin to read and study it, that there are some principles and things we need to adhere to for the right relationship and the right way of living our life. And oftentimes we try to, like you said, put them on the shelf and straddle that fence of, well, I'm saved, but I can still do this and get away with it. It's okay. God's not really looking at that. But he does. He sees everything. And that's where I was at the time. I felt like I could, honestly, Jackie, I thought I could just live my life the way I wanted to. And as long, I felt like there were other sins that were bigger than my sin. You know, I said, well, I'm not doing drugs, you know, I'm not doing this. So, you know, what I'm doing can't be that bad, but it is. Sin is sin is sin. And
right,
at that
and just
time, I was
people who are listening, understanding of the word, because we hear the word and we tend to shut down. But if you have ever looked at archery, when the archer is aiming at the target and they miss, the word for that is to sin. They have sinned. It means you have missed the mark. And God has said the mark is anything outside of what he has purpose for you to think, say, or do, right? And so that's why the word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not one human being who has not. And so we need to be conscious of that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But because of this relationship, because of this decision, you ended up getting pregnant. And here you are now, a single mom, and you have this burning desire and burning passion to become this pop star, as you said. So what did you do next? how did you merge the two worlds together?
It was difficult. After I graduated from college, I had my daughter about a year and a half after that. And, I felt like I needed something, and I didn't feel right about, you know, having my daughter out of wedlock and being in a relationship with someone that I loved but wasn't married to. And I remember having that conversation with him and wanting to be married, but he wasn't ready to make that commitment. And I wanted to pursue my dream at the same time, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go out to Los Angeles with my daughter, and I'm going to pursue my dream because this is what I want to do, and this relationship isn't going in the path that I wanted it to go in, because I still had morals about myself and the way that I was raised, and I knew, it was wrong. I needed to be married, and it was something I desired. You know, I wanted to be married to my children's father. Who wouldn't, want to be married to the person you have children to? But, that just wasn't the case. And at that time, I didn't think that anything was wrong with the relationship, but now that I'm more mature, looking back, I realize that I put myself in that relationship. It wasn't something that was ordained by God or the one that he, brought into my life. It was me pursuing a relationship by my own wants and my own needs at that time. But I moved
out
to LA.
Well, that is a very heavy, that's a very heavy weight for someone. You know, when you have a dream, when you have aspirations, and then these things in life, whether they're our decisions or not, you know, whether it's because they're consequences of our actions or not, we still feel the weight of them and they still impact us. But, you know, God is even there when we're in those dark places. And if we stick through it, he's able to bring us out. And so when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your time in L.A.
In this life, you will have trouble. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. But you can live through it.
Life is filled with so many ups and downs. Have you ever been there? One day you're smiling, the next day you're fighting to hold back your tears, to hide how you feel. So tired of faking like everything is okay when you know it's not right.
You can't get
no sleep at night.
And now
you may be asking, 'cause you never imagined, how could this be God? It cannot be God. I can only tell you what he told me.
He told me. This is what he told me.
Live through it.
He said, James,
grow through it.
You will
get through it.
You can make it.
You can make it if you just pray through it. Don't let this be the end for you.
It's not the end. This is only temporary.
So live through it.
Hallelujah. It always hurts more when it's someone close to you.
Someone you love.
Yeah.
May have just let you down.
But don't worry.
It's not the end of the world.
You gotta understand.
God already knows. Everyone who will leave you is better that way. Don't let them stay.
They didn't deserve you.
You didn't see it coming. And now you feel broken. How could this be?
This can't be God.
It cannot be God. I can only tell you what He told me.
God is saying,
live through it.
It's growing pains.
Grow through it.
Your family needs you to
get through it.
But here's the key.
You can make it if you just pray through it.
You gotta pray through
it. Don't let this be the end for you.
God only allowed it because He knew you could survive it. So,
come on. I know you say me now. There's no way I can live through this.
But live.
But live through it. No one can understand all that you have been dealing with.
You've been holding in so much it feels like you're
dying.
Hope you were listening to those verses and that chorus, you know, because when you talk about praying through it, if you really want your prayers to be heard and to be answered, you need to start with the verse that I share every week here, which is Romans 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That's where it starts. That's where this relationship begins. And, you know, Jay did that when she was 11 and a half, and she felt the connection. However, she didn't join into the relationship with him. She didn't have the pray through it. She didn't know yet that that was a part of the relationship that she needed to have with him. But once you do that, that's when you can start growing through your situation, and you can get to a place where you've lived through it, and you can look back and say, look what God has done. So here we are and we are following J. Nicole to L.A. to become a pop star. And, you know, she had her share of counterfeit relationships. And it's amazing because the song that we just listened to said, you know, how could this be God? And here I am, I'm a single mom, and I'm now trying to face this dream with challenges that I didn't expect. But we wonder how it can be God, but then if we follow his hand, we certainly see him showing up. So here you are in L.A. Talk to us about the industry. Talk to us about how difficult it is. What does a day look like for you when you're a single mom trying to break into the field out there?
It was difficult for me because I wanted the best of both worlds. I wanted to be there for my daughter, but I also wanted to be a pop star. And there had to be sacrifice on one end. And I was trying my best to not have to sacrifice either or, but I started to sacrifice missing out on watching my daughter, you know, with little things like her first step. And it hurt me because I was so busy. I would get up in the morning, literally typical day, get up, go to work, get off work, go exercise, get done exercising, go to vocal warm-ups, then meet with the girls, with the girl group, because I was with a group at the time, rehearse, then record. And by the time I got back home, and thank God my mother was out there at that time to help me with my daughter, she'd be asleep. So she was asleep when I woke up, and then she'd be asleep when I got home. So I barely had an opportunity to see her. And that hurt me because I felt like I was missing out on the parenting part. And that was something I never wanted to happen. And I was trying to find a way to balance both, but it was difficult because the industry is very demanding. And they wanted me available at the drop of a dime. And it didn't matter if I had my daughter. There was a little empathy there. So it was, if this is your dream and what you want, you have to sacrifice that. And I didn't want to do that. And there were times I cried because I would miss little things, and I missed seeing her because I was so busy chasing this dream that I couldn't be mommy at the same time.
Right, and I can imagine that, you know, just tugs on your soul, and you have that conflict, and you know what's going on, and you're feeling that turmoil on the inside. But on the outside, there may have been people looking at you thinking, wow, she's so strong and brave. Look how she just came out here to L.A. to do this thing. And, you know, this idea that we project something mm-hmm. that is so far away from the truth. And on top of the whole schedule thing that you just mentioned, there's the whole networking aspect of this business, because reality is no one knows who you are. They're not going to sign you or play your music. So there's a whole lot of time that you have to invest in networking. I'm curious to know whether or not you were ever in a situation where you were asked to compromise, because sometimes that's a part of it too.
You're right. There's a lot of networking. You're constantly selling yourself. You're your biggest salesperson because people don't know who you are. And often in that industry, in secular music, you get exposed to things that you may or may not want to be exposed to. And I know my experience when I was with the girl group and the producer that we worked with, some of the girls were intimately involved with the producer, and that put a strain on our relationship with him. And even in that, there were times where some of his team members would drop hints that, well, you know, if you want to make it, you know, this is what you got to do. They wanted you know, me or the other girls to compromise ourselves, you know, with our bodies or intimately in order to, quote unquote, help get us to the next level or make a connection or get a break. And it's unfortunate because there are some people out there that do that. They figure you're young and you're desperate. Maybe you'll compromise yourself if you want to, you know, get into the industry or utilize their connection or networking, if you will. I wasn't one of the females that were willing to do that. I just felt that if I'm going to make it, it definitely has to be another path or another route. But I certainly was asked to compromise. I just didn't compromise.
Right. You know, I'm really happy to hear that And for those who are listening who may have made a compromise in some way, you know, it's not to make you feel bad about that. The issue is that we're living in a society that is glamorizing and advocating for the easiest route possible to success and to making that money. And I was listening to lyrics. I was talking with my Sunday school class, and we were going over these lyrics by Usher called I Don't Mind. And it really was glamorizing the lifestyle of a stripper. And, you know, while I understand there are bright young ladies who are find themselves in that lifestyle because they're trying to, you know, feed kids or pay for college, things like that, glamorizing it is something else, because it's saying this is your stopping point and this is the end all be all to who you want to be, because it's going to give you that money, get that money. And so
that's
people
right.
are making these compromises because it looks like it is the end point, and it shouldn't be any point on your radar. It is a trap. it's a big
that's
trap
right.
to get you sucked into a lifestyle that is dead end and going nowhere. And there's no such thing as easy money, because though you may get a lot of it quickly, you're losing your soul. You know, you're giving away
that's
chunks
right.
of yourself, which you will never be able to get back again, save the grace of God, give it back to you. So it's really not worth it. So I'm glad to hear that you weren't, you know, you didn't get caught up in that. But nevertheless, you know, you are out there and you're working hard day and night and seeing very little fruit for your labor. And you hit a wall
yes.
and had your give up moment where you thought, okay, forget all this. Talk to us about that time. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so emotional, because I remember that as if it just happened. You know, God is so awesome, because he says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And that is so true. And it's unfortunate, because sometimes when you don't have knowledge of something, in all honesty, you just don't know. So sometimes you don't even know when you're not in line or when you're out of order. Sometimes you do. But sometimes you just don't know. You're oblivious to certain things. And at that time, I, again, was out of relationship. I was saved. I knew, you know, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. I went to church. You know, my mother would pray for me. God was in my life. And I called on him like that book. I loved how you used that analogy, on the shelf, when I needed him. But I viewed him as someone I could call on when I needed him, and that was it. And mostly that was when I was going through rough times. When I was going through the good times, I was having fun and really wasn't thinking about it. But I was with a girl group, and I just couldn't get the break I wanted. I wasn't going to compromise myself. The group fell apart. There was a lot of chaos, egos, you know, people arguing over who wanted to sing lead. Intimate relationships with the producer and one of the girls in the group, and it just went sour. And we had a deal with Sony, and that was pending, and that fell through, and I was devastated. I felt like I gave up my life to move all the way to L.A. as a single mother with my daughter, who I never got to see, and I had my heart, my hopes, my dreams set on becoming this pop star, and I was crushed that it didn't happen, and I wanted to give up on music altogether. I didn't want to do it anymore. I just said, this is it. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm not willing to compromise, but I'm tired. I'm tired of networking. I'm missing out on my daughter. And I said, that's it for me. I'm leaving. And that's what I did. I called my mom, and I said, I was crying. I said, Mom, I'm giving up. She said, what? I said, I'm giving up. And she
well,
said
now,
it more
hold on
or
a
less.
Second, 'cause I want to back up a little bit and sit in this moment, because, you know, we do. All of us hit a wall with our dreams sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying to yourself, you know, it's not working, I'm giving up, there's a certain amount of anger. There's a certain amount of melancholy or sadness that goes along with that. I want you to talk to us about what you were feeling, and what were you feeling towards yourself, towards God? Like, broaden that out, that picture out for me a little bit more.
Absolutely. I was angry with God. I wanted to blame him for it not happening. Like, aren't you God? You know, I pray and you're supposed to make it happen. And it didn't. What's going on? I'm working hard. I have the faith. This is what I want to do. I'm trying to pursue this dream, and no doors would open, you know. And if they did, it wasn't quite the way I thought. I was hurt. I was hurt. I was angry, mad at God, trying to blame him for, you know, the deal falling through and things just not happening. And then part of me was upset with myself because, like I said, I struggled with the sacrifice of not being there for my daughter or making it in the music industry. And I said, if I really want to do this, I may have to work even harder than what I had already been doing, and I'm really going to miss out on being a mom. And that reality started to set in. You know, what do you really want to do here? Because if it's going to take a lot more, that means you're going to have to sacrifice a lot more. And I was a little confused, too, because I wasn't sure if I, at that point, if I really had anything left in me to want to keep going on with it. I was just ready to give it up.
Well, now, that's a crucial moment, because when we face that type of space that you're talking about, that's when things either get better or a whole lot worse. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And in your situation, you know, just around this time where all this is swirling around, this your daughter's dad comes back into the picture, you know, and you have that decision all over again in terms of the relationship and trying to make that work. And you actually tried to give it a go again. And what ended up happening?
I did. And it's amazing how when you're at one of your lowest moments, how I like to word it, the enemy also knows you and knows your temptation and your weakness just as much as God. And at that time I thought, well, he came all the way out here and he wanted to try to make it work and focus on family. And what perfect timing to start talking about family and focusing on the children and having a right relationship when I'm ready to give up on music. So in that, I thought, well, great, you know, I could maybe give this another go and focus on my daughter and having a family and getting married. And since I'm giving up on music anyway, why not make the relationship work? But that was another trap set that I wasn't aware of. And, you know, he was familiar, and we already had my daughter. So I gave it another chance, and it did not work. It was worse the second time than it was the first time, let me tell you.
Wow. And here you are, and, you know, you end up getting pregnant with your son and realizing that it's not going to work. This is not going to work. So now you have a son and a daughter and a career that looks like it has just fallen to pieces. So that is definitely a give up, throw in the towel moment. How did you begin to find your strength to move past that moment? And I know you started to talk before about your mom, so connect that for us.
Absolutely. Called my mom again, crying. And I thought, you know, adding insult to injury, if it wasn't enough to be devastated that my dream didn't come true, now my relationship failed yet again a second time. And I was embarrassed because I felt like, I have two kids now out of wedlock. What are people going to think? How are people going to view me? Because I'm not married and I have two children. That's certainly not the way that I wanted my life to be. And, you know, not the outcome that I wanted, especially at that time with two children. So I was hurt and I was embarrassed. And she said, Jay, everyone makes mistakes. You're not perfect. And God, he can forgive you. She said, you know, it was prophesied on two different occasions. Number one, that you were supposed to use your gift to glorify God. She said, you know that. She said, and don't worry about being a single mom. You're not the only single mom. You're not the only person who has children out of wedlock. She said, you know, pray, rededicate your life. She'd been praying for me. And she said, you know, get in a relationship with God and find out what he wants you to do. She said, don't give up. You know, God's not giving up on you. And I said, you know, I thought about it. I heard her. And at the time, it's like, yeah, yada, yada. You hear your mom talking. And sometimes it's hard to receive things from moms because you feel like they're just being mom and they're going to say this or that. But I actually listened. I listened at that moment and I took her advice. And at that point, I decided not to give up on me and not to give up on God. Mm. And I rededicated my life.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's most important. That it wasn't about not giving up on the thing, but not giving up on yourself and not giving up on the God who said that you were enough, right? So that's awesome.
That's right.
So you rededicated your life to him, and you moved back to the East Coast. And when we come back, we're going to find out exactly where that beautiful thing, when you can get to a place where you say, you know what, God, just give me you. That's all I really need.
Amen.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees, crying out to you. It's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees, so give me you. Give me you. Come on, say, give me you.
Give me you.
Come on.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Give me you. It's never too late. Never too late. In fact, there are times that we think that it is too late. I know for myself, in my own story, I felt, Lord, you know, I made too many mistakes. There's no way to fix this. It can't be undone. It is irreversible. And, you know, I'm still here. So clearly it was not too late. And was it too late for you, Jay?
No, praise God, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. What did he start to do with your life? You came back, you didn't even want to sing anymore. How did he start to refocus you and repoint your life?
Well, I rededicated my life, and I started reading the Word more, attending church more, and really seeking God first in all things, praying, which is something that I didn't do as much as I needed to before rededicating my life. I started praying more and really seeking God, asking Him to lead and direct my path and what He would have me do. And I just felt like a weight was lifted, and it was almost like a rebirth, if you will, because I was studying and I was learning things about the Word, about my life and how to apply it to my life. And my life began to change because of it. And my mother...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and my mother was a big part of that. And I can't say it enough. I thank God for having someone in my life, in my corner, praying for me. That was God, because He'd been there, like you said, the whole time, only I didn't see it.
Well, that word of encouragement to all you moms and grandmas and aunts out there, believe me, you make a difference. Keep praying for those loved ones that you have on your heart. It makes a difference. I'm curious to know about the music. Did he give that back to you?
He did. My mother had wrote a lot of inspirations based on her testimony. I was writing as well, and we started to collaborate, and we thought, why don't we just share our story with others out there? There may be some single moms out there or someone who wanted to break into secular music and it didn't work out and they weren't really sure, you know, what God's plan was for their life. Or in my mother's case, being a brain tumor survivor, she said, you know, people need to be encouraged. And I believe people needed to be inspired and blessed by the Word of God. And I wanted to do that the second time around, through song, but allowing it to glorify and uplift Christ while encouraging and inspiring others. And that led me to doing gospel music, which is something I ran from for a very long time. Hence, we titled the album No More Running.
Ah, very good, very good. And I know your mom would probably have a lot of strong lyrics and contributions, because she was really told she would never speak or walk again.
That's right. She got the doctor's report that because of the tumor and where it was located, that flattened her spinal cord, that if it went untreated and unremoved, that she could not walk or talk again. And I watched her literally, Jackie, take a Bible and stand on top of it, and said she was literally standing on the Word of God, trusting Him through faith that He would heal her, and He did. He did just that, and she reminded me of that, and, you know, I thought, wow, you know, God did that for my mother, and He got me through a difficult time with a devastating disappointment when the music industry or desire to break in didn't happen, and He got me through a difficult relationship. So if He could do it for me and He can do it for my mother, He can do it for anybody. So that's why we did this album, and we wanted to share our story.
Absolutely. In fact, you went from being jobless to being an entrepreneur, right?
I did. God is so awesome. I had lost my job. Even after I rededicated my life, I was laid off and didn't know what I was going to do. And I started praying, and I said, God, what do I do now? You know, at the time I was living in New Jersey, and the cost of living in New Jersey is very expensive. And I said, I don't know what to do. And I started to get these ideas that I always had inside of me and never really moved forward with them. But I started my own business, and I said, wow, I never thought I could do that. And I didn't do it by myself. It was God. But, you know, I just want to say that once you get in relationship and allow him to lead and direct your path, things happen that you will find yourself saying, I can't believe that happened, or, wow, look at God, because he really can do it, you know, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. That's one of my favorite scriptures because I lived it, and I'm a living example of that.
Wow, that is such a powerful history, and I try not to say story, because it's not something that's fabricated or made up. It is absolutely real. And Kendall Triplett, who's also a singer and artist who's been on the show, he just released a video called So I Will. And in that video, it's talking about probably a person's worst day ever. You know, you go into work and you get fired, and then you come home and the lights have been cut off, and it's like, oh my goodness, God, what are you doing? But in all of that, to continue to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to focus on praising you, and I will, you know, continue to listen to you. And in all of that, he's been able to bring you out, bring you back into music with real joy, a real message. And you also talked about, you know, being complete in terms of relationship. Where do you stand in terms of how do you view yourself as a woman now in relationship?
Right now, I'm working on building my relationship and strengthening that daily with God and allowing him to bring the right person into my life instead of me going out and seeking that for myself, because I saw where that led me. And I believe at the right time, God will bring the right person into my life. And I believe that for everybody. And one thing, I love the title of your radio show, Don't Give Up, because I was one of those people. I had three different incidents where I could have given up. I could have given up on me and on life when I was devastated, because I had thoughts of, you know, what do I do now? But, you know, I blew those thoughts off. But there's some people out there who take their life over certain situations, or they become depressed, or, you know, fall into a slumber. God really can. He really, really can. And I've gone through a bad relationship, disappointment, losing my job. And those were times I could have given up on life, on myself, and even on God, but I didn't. And I'm glad that I didn't, because the path that I'm on now, I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. But I'm so glad I didn't, because I'm there now. And I say that to uplift and encourage anyone that's going through anything in life. Hold on. You may not see the outcome. You may not see that joy that comes in the morning. And it's hard when you're going through it, because you're only feeling what you're living in that moment. But if you just hold on and don't give up, I promise you, based on God's word, that a brighter day is coming. You just have to hold on and not give up.
There you go. There you go. You're saying it better than I say it. That's wonderful. I love it. and because of your experience, though, and what you've been through and what your mom's been through, you're able to start a nonprofit organization called Single Moms on the Go, which I think is an awesome ministry. Tell us about what you're doing.
Yes, I get so excited when I talk about this. I wanted to give back. I lived the struggle, and I'm still a single mother, and I know it's tough. It's difficult to hold it down by yourself, and I wanted to help other single moms who may have lost their job or in between jobs, who just need a little extra help, because it gets tough when you got to do it all alone. And my mother and I started a nonprofit 501c3 organization called Single Mothers on the Go, because single moms are constantly in motion. We're doing the work of two people with one body. So I wanted a way to give back, and what we do is through donations, we put together food baskets or gift cards or a financial blessing to those single parents. It's not just limited to single moms, but our focus is single mothers, but we help single fathers too that are in need, that are going through a difficult time.
That is so needed. It's so needed. I remember in my worst days, you know, having, you know, now my kids are very close together, and they're all, you know, 19, 20, 22. But when they were, you know, 3, 4, and 6, I really just needed a moment, and everything was crashing down. Everything was, you know, their dad had kidney failure, and then I, you know, was a stay-at-home mom, and nothing was working, and the finances. It just was like the cow gone, take me away commercials, but there was
right.
There was no way to be taken away too. And I remember one of the most refreshing things during that season was some of the sisters from the church had made a gift basket, and they actually put a gift in for each day of the week. And so they were little gifts, little trinkets, but it gave you something to look forward to every day to open up and see what would be the gift for this day. And
wow.
It just really made a difference. And I would love to say that there were more days like that, but unfortunately that was a very rare experience out of the years of struggle. And so to know that there's an organization out there that can make a difference is really great. How can people support you and come alongside and donate to the cause?
I have a page dedicated to single mothers on the go. We call it SMOGS for short, and it's on my website at www.myjnicholesong.com. Again, it's www.myjnicholesong.com, and it's on the SMOGS tab, and that's short for Single Mothers on the Go.
And if you are on Blog Talk Radio, that information is also available there, and you're on Facebook as well, correct?
That's correct. My Facebook is J. Nicole Jones, and I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter tag is at my J. Nicole, and that's Nicole with an H.
Great. Tell us what else you have coming down the pike. What can we look forward to from you? Have you finished your EP? What's going on?
Yes, I'm excited. Well, the album released October 21st of 2014, titled No More Running, praise God. And we're still coming off the excitement of that. I have some opportunities coming up that will allow me to minister in song. We are holding a Single Mothers on the Go gospel spring concert that's going to be at Grace Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, April 25th. It's free for everyone to come out. It's just to raise awareness again about Single Mothers on the Go and the nonprofit organization and how we can be a blessing in our local community and surrounding areas. So we're really excited about that event on the 25th of April. And I also got an invitation for Atlanta Live. So I'm looking forward to getting down to Atlanta, Georgia. And I've got a ton of different things lined up. And again, I want to share that with all of you, especially with the audience of Don't Give Up Radio. And I post that on my website each week so they can kind of follow me and stay connected.
I want to be on Atlanta Live. That's one of my that's one of my to-do list things. I want to get on there too. That's awesome. It's great to hear how you have been transformed from someone who was a wannabe, you know, wannabe pop star, and mm-hmm. went out there, you know, with this soul-searching, you know, young lady to find the real truth and the real confidence in God that He has now given you, so you can powerfully go forth and not only sing, which you love to do, but help other lives, other women who are in a situation that you have been through, so you can speak to it. You know exactly what they're feeling and what their needs are. And so I just want to recap for the audience, you know, you got to look and you have to see what you were created for, what you're doing right now. Is it God's plan? Is it something that He has asked you to do? Or is it something that you just kind of leaped off to do on your own? You know, take the time to connect. Again, Romans 10 and 9, go to it, meditate on it, and say that prayer with a truthful heart. And I'm telling you, He will not disappoint you. And you follow His lead, and you will have indeed true confidence. We're going to go out entitled Confidence, and I want our listeners to know we're going to continue with wonderful women guests this month who are doing great things, and we've got a wonderful entrepreneur coming up for us next week who's going to really talk to us about the power of being successful and even knowing when to walk away from that to do not just good things, but great things. Until then, I want you to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you. Jay, thank you for being with us tonight.
Jackie, thank you so much. It's been a blessing and an honor. And thank you for allowing me to share my music and my ministry behind the music with you and your audience.
It's a pleasure. Here we go. Confidence.
I knew I needed you. Nothing was going right.